Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Once again, game number one tonight, 7 o'clock. They will obviously have the game here at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. You will need to be present in the first intermission to register to win tickets for game number three. So that's Friday night's game, 6 o'clock. Be here in the first intermission. Register to win tickets out here at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, and you can win. So I love when The Athletic does this because it always is at least interesting to me. But they always have the anonymous coach, the anonymous general manager, the anonymous scout, the anonymous player. They always have the anonymous things. Now, Caroline Fenton, you are an anti-anonymous source person.
For the most part, yes. Just put your name on it.
Why?
Take ownership of it.
Why would an anonymous general manager, if your option is to not have this, or you know which general manager said what, you'd rather know which general manager said what than to not have this?
No, I'd rather have this than not have it at all. But if I could choose to have a source, then I would prefer to have that. I just think for the most part, sports media, maybe media in general, has relied so much on anonymous sources. And it's like at a certain point, it's like you don't need to be anonymous. Just go ahead and say it. Put your name on it. I understand for this, people don't necessarily want to stamp, you know, their decisions. They don't necessarily want to get cold takes. But, I mean, put your name on it.
It's not about getting cold takes. It's about getting fired.
That as well.
And so, for example, like if you
were... But why would you get fired for picking the Hurricanes in six? It seems like a pretty consensus decision.
Because if you're a general manager and you say something like Roman Josi sucks, and then you find yourself in a position to where you're out of a job and say David Poile retires, well, now you're not going to get the Predators job because you went on record and said Roman Josi sucks.
That's fair.
So why would you burn a bridge that... Why would you burn a bridge that you don't need to burn? Why
did
would
any
you
of them say that Roman Josi sucks?
No, but you can't have a candid take if you have to go on the record.
That's true. I mean, I'm just saying in this article, it's all a pretty analytical breakdown. It's all things that we all already know. I don't think that anything that they were saying was necessarily spicy.
Oh, I totally disagree. I totally disagree. And again, you're using it on a case-by-case basis. This is like today when Joe Rexroth was talking about Tolvanen and Dante Fabro not being in the lineup and how there's no way that those guys will get mad about not being in the lineup or anything like that. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is mad because they drafted another guy to sit on the bench. Like, and Aaron Rodgers is mad about it. Well, but that's different. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's... What, so you're telling me that Ellie Tolvanen and Dante Fabro can't have feelings like Aaron Rodgers has? Like, they can't have feelings like Carson Wentz had? Like, why not? You know, in this case, you're like, well, this article isn't that in-depth, so why do we need anonymous sourcing? I mean, because we need anonymous sourcing for... I believe in anonymous sources. Now, I'm not like Joe Rexroth, who believes every single anonymous source is 100% right 100% of the time.
No, just...
I don't believe that. But, I'm like, if you read history, like... Like the First Amendment is there for politics, obviously. It is
yes.
there to uphold those in power.
Like, and it allows people to be more candid, and I understand that you get different responses out of people when they know that their names won't be on it.
Right. And without anonymous sourcing, you don't get Watergate if you don't have anonymous sourcing. But that's neither here nor there.
All right. Well, that's...
I'm not Bill O'Reilly.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, you don't get that if you don't have anonymous sourcing. So an anonymous general manager, an anonymous coach, and an anonymous scout all went off the record with The Athletic talking about this series, talking about Carolina and the Predators. The executive said, quote, obviously Carolina is a great story, but the one thing with Nashville is now they have an identity and they're much harder to play against. Added the coach, quote, I think this is going to be a tougher series than maybe some people are expecting. The scout said, quote, Nashville's going to run them out of the rink, but can they keep up with a deep, fast, physical Hurricanes team? Now, there's some other things that they said, and we'll get to those. But, again, every single one. Now, they all picked the Hurricanes. In fact, they all picked the Hurricanes in six. The executive, the coach, the scout all picked the Hurricanes in six. But all three, I feel like, are giving the Predators a legit shot. When I read this, obviously Carolina's a great story. But the one thing with Nashville is they have an identity they're harder to play against. Or that the coach says it's going to be tougher than people think. And the scout says they're going to run them out of the rink. I mean, I think that what this is telling me is that hockey people, that the hockey people think the Predators have a chance. Now, again, they're not picking the Predators, but it sounds like they're giving the Predators a legitimate chance to win this series. And I think that should be noted, because what happens is when 15 people out of 15 at ESPN all pick Carolina to win, everybody labels that as, well, they're giving the Predators no chance. And I don't think it's that they're not giving the Predators a chance. It's just they don't think the Predators will win that series. What I wonder is, we know the Predators are the underdogs in this series. Mm-hmm. The real question is, how big? Like, how big is the gap between these two teams? Because, again, I think John Hines is trying to sell his team on being physical and pushing Carolina around. Again, out hitting them 23-14 like they did on May 8th, although they probably like to see that number more around 32-15 if they had their druthers about how they want this series to play out. But when you do factor in the fact that the Predators have better goaltending than Carolina, you do have to wonder, okay, what is the divide between these two teams? If this was an NCAA tournament basketball game, what would the two seeds playing be? Would it be a 1 versus an 8 or a 9? Would it be like a 2 versus a 15? Would it be like a Sweet 16 matchup, a 1 versus a 4? Because we see 4s knock off 1s in the Sweet 16 all the time. What is the the legitimate gap between these two teams? And not, well, you know, Carolina finished with this many points during the year and the Predators finished, because the Predators, you know, it's a long season. What's the gap between the two teams? Because it makes it feel, when I read that in the Athletic article, it makes me think that the gap is not as big as maybe I think it is.
I would agree with you. And I think that one key part in here as well is that they all say Hurricanes in 6. That's not the Hurricanes are going to sweep the Predators in 4 games. That's like the Predators having a valiant effort that's counting on UC Soros possibly stealing a game or two. So I think that's also one key point. And there's another part in this article that I wanted to point out. They mentioned Matt Duchene. This executive said, who knows what you're going to get from him. And I think that is going to be one big key for the Predators in this series, is what we get, what the Predators get out of Matt Duchene. Who is going to show up?
Sure. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey has been waiting patiently. He's going to kick us off this hour. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey there. How you doing, guys? Long-time listener.
Thanks.
I wanted to talk about the Soros matchup. And you mentioned that they're not starting Mrazek. And I believe the goalie that started for Carolina the last two games in which we won was Mrazek. And that last game, you could definitely see Mrazek getting frustrated, especially after the third goal we put up on him. I think a huge liability for Carolina is the fact they have a good goalie situation, but they don't have a number one guy. They've switched throughout the year, and that is that's been the subject of some conversation in the past for that team. And I think a huge – I'm not saying Predators in a rush, but Carolina's got some liabilities. They are not a physical team. They are a technical and finesse team. And if you recall – the 2018 run where we were President's Cup winners. What did the Winnipeg Jets do?
Oh, they beat the crap out of the Predators. Thank you for your call, Corey. I totally agree. I mean, that Dustin Byfuglien, and I want to say it was game 3 at Winnipeg, where the Predators had a 3-0 lead, and I just remember him throwing Craig Smith around, and not to go back all at Craig Smith, but him just throwing Craig Smith just along the ice like he was a tiny little puppy to Dustin Byfuglien. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I do agree with the caller that now Nedeljkovic was the one who was in net against the Predators on that Saturday night. Mrazek was the one in that, you know, Pekka-Rinne senior night game. The Hurricanes are tough and physical. The Hurricanes are the Hurricanes are not a tactical, you know, just the Hurricanes are really talented. They're really good. Like, they're deep. They're very talented. To sit there and think that you can just go out there and outplay them, I think that's probably a little short-sighted. You do have the advantage in net on paper. Now, then again, handful of years ago, the Predators played a playoff series against the Arizona Coyotes, and Mike Smith out-goalied Pekka. Last year, Darcy Kemper was better than UC Soros. That's not something we should expect. So, I mean, if you want to put it out like that, goalie is the one thing, if you're a Predator fan, where I think you can hang your hat on and say, okay, if you win this series, goalie is a reason why, perhaps, that they win this series. But I can't. When I say, like, what's the gap between the two teams, I'm doing that with the assumption that the gap is still in favor of Carolina. Not, you know, if you really look at it, the gap maybe favors the Predator. I would love for that to be true. And we've seen the Predators in playoff series where the gap has not favored them and they've won. And we've seen the playoff series where the gap does favor them and they've lost. But, I mean, I guess I'm asking, you know, how big is the gap between these two teams? Because the anonymous coach and the anonymous executive and the anonymous GM, they all say Canes in six, which means the Canes don't have to sweat themselves off of this series, but that it's certainly not a walk in the park either of four or five games. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. By the way, sometimes I think fans get mad. We all picked against the Predators. We all picked the Hurricanes. ESPN's picked against the Predators. And we just talked about the anonymous coach, scout, general manager to pick against the Predators. But is it really disrespecting the Predators? Or is this exactly where the Predators want them? We'll discuss next. 615-737-1025. Ian's back in our wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We are live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, where once again, come on out and register to win a pair of tickets. That's right, for Game 3. Again, that drawing will be during the first intermission, and you must be present to win. So if you're planning on stopping by, plan on stopping by around the first period, first intermission, and register to win. On Wednesday, we'll be broadcasting live at the new Party Foul location in Cool Springs at 1914 Galleria Boulevard from 2 to 6 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 4. And Thursday, we'll be broadcasting live at Social Furniture, 5412 Charlotte Avenue from 2 to 6 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 3 and a pair of tickets to Game 4. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
John, I was asking a couple of guys earlier, now, as a coach, how much do you play up the underdog role with your guys as maybe kind of a galvanizing force when you're looking for anything and everything to get you guys to compete at the top level?
I think it's more about playing to our identity and just focusing on one game at a time. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, in sports, both teams have to go out and play. And whoever plays better is going to be a team that's going to win.
There you go, John Hines, just identity, identity, identity. What about the underdog role? You think the Predators are playing up the underdog role? I do.
I think so. I think they are. Well, I think they like being picked against. Use that as fuel to the fire.
I think that's all they can do at this point.
Right.
But Corey Curtis was on with Robbie and Retro today, and they asked Corey Curtis the question about, you know, everybody that is picking against the Predators, and a lot of people are, in fact, doing that, picking against the Predators. And I wonder, is it disrespectful that everybody is picking against the Predators? Here's what Corey Curtis said.
When a team is the one seed, they're supposed to win, right?
Yep.
So if you're picking against the one seed, then you're disrespecting them. When you're picking against the four seed, against the one seed, that's not disrespecting them, okay? And I know everybody loves to play the disrespect card, but the Predators are the last team in. And the Hurricanes have been tremendous all year. I think ESPN was, what, 16 for 16?
Yep.
On Carolina? I'll go 17 for 17. I predict the series to go seven, and I think it's going to be really competitive and entertaining and hard-fought. But, you know, when you're good from start to finish, like Carolina was, you're just really good. And picking against them is a lot more disrespectful than picking against the Predators.
Okay. Do we think it's disrespectful to pick against the Predators? Do we think it's disrespectful that all of these people are picking against the Predators? And do we agree with Corey Curtis? And I'll go first. No, no. And no, I completely agree with Corey. I mean, the one thing, it's weird because you're on the flagship station of the team, and so many people have now been trained to hear legitimate homer talk all the time. And that's not just in sports. That's in literally everything. It's like if I go to a channel that I want to watch, I want it to affirm my beliefs. That's why people go to political news channels to hear about the economy instead of listening to an economist talk about the economy. or they want to hear somebody who will have their side. If you notice this, if you watch cable news, they only put on guests who normally agree with whatever the premise of the host agrees with. It's what they put on. And this show has never done that, and we're not going to do that. But, I mean, we need to take check right now about how good Carolina is. Like, we need to be honest about how good Carolina is. We need to be fair that the Predators are not being disrespected. I think if anything, we need to look at the fact that the Predators are by far in the biggest hole they've ever been in since the Blackhawks series in 2017. And we need to assess, okay, are the Predators better than that? And is Carolina worth all the talk? And then after that, it's okay. How do you steal these games? How do you be honest about how you pull this out of your rear end, as opposed to we're just going to go in there and we're going to outskate them. We're going to outplay them. We're going to out, because right now I know where goals are coming from on Carolina. I don't know where goals are coming from with the Predators. So, I mean, I do wonder though, is it disrespectful that literally nobody is picking the Predators?
I personally don't think it's disrespectful, because if you just look at the numbers, take yourself out of it, imagine that you are a third party. Look at the numbers, look at the statistics throughout the season. Carolina statistically is the better team, so it is the smart choice to pick them. If the Predators want to view it as disrespect and use it as fuel for this underdog narrative and use it as fuel to come out and be that physical and tough team that they want to be tonight, then that's fine. They can interpret it however they want. But if you're looking at it from a third party perspective, then you're just making a prediction for the game, and it feels like the right one.
So, again, disrespect. Do you think that motivating factor matters tonight? Do you think it matters in this series? Do you think this team is one of those teams that just believes, oh, hey, everyone's picking against us, we're going to show them. Everybody thinks that we're terrible and we should blow up our roster and we should sell. We'll show them. We are going to. Do you buy into that? Let's kick it around the room. Ian, start us off.
Not really. I do think they'll try and play it up. Cause I think that's just kind of natural, right? When you're the underdog, I think that's kind of what teams do, try and get themselves extra psyched up. But I don't think it'll play much of a factor. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Carolina just might be too good. Although we were saying this kind of same thing with Chicago, but I think Carolina might even be better than Chicago.
Ooh. Your thoughts?
I think it may become more of like a media narrative and maybe like a fun little battle cry going through this playoff run as, yeah, I know we're the underdogs. We feel like we have something to prove here. But inside the dressing room, I don't think that's the case. Roman Josi was asked today, you know, as the captain, how do you prepare for these playoff games? Do you do anything differently? And he said, we don't really change much. He said, we've been playing the past month or so like they're all playoff games because they all mattered, like a playoff game does. So I don't think that this, like he said, I don't think that this pressure narrative, this underdog narrative changes much that they do in the dressing room and changes much of their mentals going into
this
game.
I think it so changes it. Oh my goodness. Now, I'm not sure it makes a difference in the score.
No.
I'm not sure it makes a difference.
It could if it really does actually change how they play.
But I do think that, I mean, I do think the Predators are looking at it like, we're going to go in there and punch them square in the face, and we are going to just absolutely rock their house, and they're going to be so flustered from how we just physically beat them up, and all the pressure is going to slide on top of them, and once all that pressure's on them, they will crumble underneath it. I think that is the Predators' plan. Again, as I said to start the show, I'm okay as long as you have a plan.
Right.
You know, I'm the kind of guy, I feel like you've been working with me long enough now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of guy that will have a 5-hour discussion ahead of time if it makes sure that things will be done right whenever it is time to do those things that are time to be done right. You know, I will literally have the plan. Now, it may not be the greatest plan in the world, and I think sometimes plans get thrown off. But, I mean, I've seen radio shows that are hosted where it's just like, sit down at 2:00. All right, here we go. Big game tonight. What do we think's going to happen? And I don't operate like that. Okay? I operate under plans. I operate on people doing what they're supposed to do. And I believe the Predators, this is their plan. Now, I don't love the plan. Like, I don't love the success percent chances of success in the plan. Like, if you were to come to me and say, we want a plan that is for sure going to work, then I would take this one and I would say, hey, this whole we're the underdogs, we're going to put it to them, we're going to sock them in the face, we're going to put where that plan's not going to work. Or it's not for sure 100% going to work. But if you were to say, okay, what plans are there that will work for the Predators, I would argue that that may be the best one, and the hyping up the underdog sense might be the best one. And the, I will give you that because, again, to Ian's point, Ian thinks that this Carolina team might be better than that Chicago team. I kind of disagree with that, but I'm not going to say he's crazy for it. I'm not. I mean, there is something worth being discussed as far as how good this Carolina team is. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Nate has been waiting patiently, is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, I was just calling in to make sure there's two different narratives. Y'all are talking about two different things, in my opinion. One's sure. Disrespect. One is underdog. They are clearly an underdog. Don't you agree? I mean, obviously, they're an underdog. But sure. The disrespect narrative, and I haven't heard anybody officially say anything about, you know, being disrespected other than the media today, which I'm fortunate enough to get to hear the sports talk a lot during the day. But, like, if I was to say, you know, the University of Kentucky is going to crush Louisville, that's Louisville's an underdog all the time. If I was to say Louisville just sucks, that's disrespectful, right?
I mean, again, unless they suck, then I don't think it's disrespectful. But,
I think the underdog thing, they're clearly an underdog. And I don't think it's disrespectful to say they're an underdog. But
sure.
So that's – and y'all seem like y'all are going in and out of both of those lanes in this conversation.
There's probably something to that, Nate. Thank you for your call. Yeah, there's probably something to that. I mean, they are underdogs. Like, they are legitimate underdogs. I mean, even when I said that they – and I think we touched on this a little bit earlier. Just because – you're not picking the Predators doesn't mean that you don't think the Predators can win. I think the Predators can win. I gave them a 20% chance. And last week, I think somebody texted or tweeted me or whatever. Somebody went nuts last week when I said they had a 20% chance. And someone was like, how can you in the home city or the home station say that? Like, 20% is not zero. It's not zero. 20% is a chance. It's not a great chance, but it's a chance. And I think that's probably what we're looking at here in this series. And again, I think tonight sets the tone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. We'll get back to your phones. We'll also, apparently, Titans minicamp. We'll have some thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell the fine folks that we've partnered with T-Mobile to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from ESPN 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Stillman and Company, presented by TriStar Moving.
Roman, in your tenure with the Predators, you guys have really struggled in series when you didn't win game one, and you guys have been very successful when you have won game one. Does that put a premium on tonight's game, and how much do you value game one specifically?
Yeah, I mean, game one is huge. I think every series you play, the first game, you want to get off to a good start. And, I mean, every game is huge in playoffs, but game one is definitely a big one. There's a lot of excitement. And, the team that gets off to a good start definitely has the advantage.
There you go. That was Roman Josi. And again, I love it. You know, how big is game one? You know, well, oh yeah, it's important for game one, I guess. You know, it's a, well, when you lose game one, you don't win series. So eventually, I think it probably kind of catches up to you. So I think if they have any chance of winning the series, they have to win one of the two at Carolina. I'm not going to say they have to win game one. But
I think it'll be more difficult to win game two if they drop game one.
I certainly think it will be more difficult because now the pressure is if you don't win a game in Carolina, now you come back for game three and that's it. But I do think that if they win game one, then it totally swings the odds. I mean, if it's 80-20 now, Carolina, in my head, a win tonight probably swings it to 50-50.
That much?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
But then again, a loss doesn't do anything to it. I think it stays at 80-20 if they lose, because that's kind of the expected outcome. So I'm going to go, you know, that's, you're talking about a 30% shift, because now if you take game two, now Carolina's in trouble. And it doesn't guarantee you anything, but if you take game two, say you're up 2-0 in a series.
Going into games at Bridgestone, huge.
You'd have to feel, and we've seen this, Columbus went up 2-0 in 2018, and Washington ended up winning the Cup. So it's no guarantee of anything, but I think you almost have to feel like if you're up 2-0, now you have a better than 50-50 shot in order to win this series. If you're down 0-2, you're still probably around 80%. You'll lose the third game, now it's like 95%. But I do feel like game one that there's a lot, and I don't know how much they're putting into it. Players are different, and coaches are different than fans and media. We can be a little bit more objective. We don't have to live with the fact that if you put everything into game one and you lose game one, then it's like, what do you do now? You know, where are you emotionally after that? We don't have to worry about that. They obviously do. Let's go to your phones, as promised. 615-737-1025, our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what's in the text line?
One texter texted in and said, I'll take the 20% chance to win. We only had a 2% chance to make the playoffs, and the Predators slayed that dragon. It can happen, and I think the Preds have always had better results as the underdog versus top dog.
So I just wish everybody would approach everything in life with maybe this mentality, which is, if you really, really beat the odds one time, it doesn't make it better that you're going to beat the odds the other times. Like, just because the odds are not in your favor. Again, I don't, you know, that 2%, I don't know where they came up with it. Probably some, you know, analytic.
Moneypuck.com, probably.
Whatever kind of things and whatnot. The second thing, though, is eventually you need to feel like you're in command of something. And in 2017, that's exactly what happened after they beat the Chicago Blackhawks. Because then they had the Blues in the second round and the Ducks, and it never felt like they were the underdog. Even in the Cup final against the defending champion Penguins, which they ended up losing, it never felt like they were the underdog. At some point, this team has got to shed that underdog label. And if they're going to take that step right here in this playoff, that's where they're going to do it, is by, you know, stunning everybody and beating Carolina. But I'm not going to bank on, well, they only had 2% chance to make the playoffs, and now I feel good about winning the series. Because when they had a 2% chance to make the playoffs, that's making the playoffs over the Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars. This ain't the Dallas Stars. This team is really good. And so I wouldn't just, you know, I wouldn't put all my money, like if you, like, I don't know if you're a roulette player. It's the worst odds in the casino. But if you hit a number in roulette, you know, you get a pretty nice payout. I wouldn't advise hitting the number once and then trying to consistently play roulette, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. And I think this whole, this underdog mentality works, like you said, in until a certain point. Because I worry, let's say the Predators do take both games in Carolina, Predators are no longer the underdogs anymore. So what is going to be that motivating factor at that point if you're on top, if you do become the quote-unquote top dog, like the texture said?
So in the Blackhawks series, the one thing that I really walked away from was, you know, everybody remembered that the Blackhawks had, you know, beaten the Predators in Nashville in 2015. Everybody remembered, I mean, if you want to go back all the way to 2010. The Predators stole game one. Rene was fantastic. Game two, they didn't put their foot off the gas because they knew how good, they knew how freaking good that Blackhawks team was. And so then they get a 2-0 lead and they spank them in game three. Now, game two, the 2018 Predators and the 2019 Predators could have never won that second game 5-0 and not crap their pants in game three at Bridgestone. Because that's exactly what the 2018 and 2019 Predators did. As soon as they felt comfortable, they got their rear end just torched. And that in 2017, when they played that third game against Chicago, I remember saying on the radio, look, you think two of the best players in the history of the game, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, you think those guys are just hanging it up? You think they're going down two and they're going to walk into Bridgestone Arena with their hands in the air like, hey, man, we're not going to put up a fight. And they did put up a fight. Predators ended up winning in overtime. Now, when it was down 3-0, they were done. And you could hear it in the in-between day media conference at the Omni Hotel. The Blackhawk players were like, yeah, you know, let's go out there and have to put together a pretty good game and see if we can kind of swing things back in our, you know. They had nothing. They were down 3-0. They were, but the Predators never took their foot off the gas. And in 2017 in the Cup Final, I felt like they took their foot off the gas. I felt like in 2017 in the Cup Final, they were down 2-0. They even the series, two big dramatic home wins. And Game 5, they got blitzed. And I thought the winner of Game 5 was going to win the Cup, and it ended up being Pittsburgh. To your point, if they win Game 1, they're still the underdogs. There's still a motivating factor there because this Carolina team is really good. And if you think that just stealing one game is going to be how you win this series, I think you're in for kind of a rude awakening. Eric is up next here on the show. We're live at Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House. Apparently, we're giving away the tickets in the second period today when we're giving away those tickets. Again, come on out and register. Second period must be present to win. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Okay, I want to say this about taking your foot off the gas. This is something that the Predators do not need to do. Defensive goaltending, chances in the crease, making sure that you block shots, making sure that you score. These are the things that the Predators need to be concentrating on in defeating the Hurricanes.
So I wouldn't disagree. I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you at the same time, though. And I appreciate your call, Eric. I mean, I don't think that, like, those are little details. Everybody knows you have to pay attention to the details in something like this. It's bigger, though, than the details. Like, and maybe those little details are all what add up to a win tonight or not. But to me, it's about the Predators are going to go in there and they're going to try to out physical and out tough. And they're going to try to punch Carolina in the mouth tonight. And I don't think, again, to his point, yeah, you're going to have to, in order to do that, it's not just about hitting the other guy. You're going to have to block shots. You're going to have to get your puck, you know, in the, when they're trying to make a pass, and boy, can they pass. You're going to have to get your puck on a stick, or I mean, your stick on a puck. You are going to have to push the envelope. You're going to have to use the body and maybe sacrifice the body to keep the puck in the offensive zone. There's a lot of things you're going to have to do. The little things, but again, the details. I think right now it's more of a big picture look than it is just the details. And obviously, you don't want the Predators to take their foot off the gas. I've been watching the Predators enough to know that the Predators sometimes take their foot off the gas. And I just would caution against that if they win Game 1. Or if they get a big lead. If they get a big lead tonight, which I don't think is very likely, but if they get a big lead tonight, don't take your foot off the gas. Do not do it.
And I do really worry, and I don't want to speak anything into existence when it hasn't happened yet, but I worry about the Predators dropping a game at Bridgestone Arena because, like we discussed, winning those games at Bridgestone Arena are absolutely vital to winning this series. So sure. I'm afraid that the Predators get comfortable, let's say if they win a game, or maybe if they don't even win a game at Raleigh, they have that comfort knowing that they're coming back home to a 12,000-person capacity at Bridgestone. And I just worry that they would rest on their laurels too much knowing that they have two home games following two games on the road.
Oh, my goodness. If they do that, oh. If they
I'm
do that.
I'm saying that they would.
Oh, my.
It's
but they've done it. They've done it. You know, I mean, they have done it. I go back to the Colorado Avalanche series when, you know, the Avalanche where you could tell they were like, you know, puppies compared to what they are now. And the Predators won games 1 and 2, and I didn't think they played particularly well, but they won games 1 and 2. They got spanked in game 3. They won game 4. They came back here in game 5, and the Avalanche were playing their third string goalie. And I believe he shut out the Predators that night. And it was embarrassing, and they had to go back to Denver and win in game 6. And I just... They really took their foot off the gas. They took their foot off the gas in Winnipeg up 3-0, and they had that comfort. They kept bailing themselves out of trouble by winning games 4 and 6 in Winnipeg and then losing at Bridgestone Arena. I mean, to me, I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas because they know they're the underdogs, but I would be very, very worried if that is something that in fact happened. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get a news update with Caroline coming up next. 615-737-1025. We're live at Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. They are giving you a chance to register for a pair of tickets to be in the lower bowl at Bridgestone Arena for Game 3. Get here early. Get a seat for the watch party following Stillman & Company, and the winner will be drawn in the second period. You must be present to win. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025, the game. Stillman & Company, Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, in 10 minutes will join us. His thoughts on game number one. Hey, Smashville, the game Nashville and Dos Equis is bringing the party to you. Text the word GOLDEN to 615-737-1025 to qualify for the ultimate in-home watch party. And did I mention one lucky fan is getting tickets to a playoff game at Bridgestone Arena. Get a dose, Smashville. You must be 21 or older to enter and win. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Time now for some headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We had Titans rookie mini camp this past weekend. Yes, we did. And one of the biggest storylines coming out of that was Rashad Weaver, who last month was charged with simple assault. He was accused of punching a woman at a bar. So he's been in a lot of legal trouble, but he did participate in Titans rookie mini camp this weekend. Vrabel said he was attentive and he wants to try to be a good teammate and has taken advantage of coaching. Vrabel also said, we understand the severity of the accusations. We take them very seriously, but we're also going to allow the legal process to play its part and run its course, which I think is fair. Innocent until proven guilty. Get him in. Let him do his thing. And then if something comes out and he is charged, then you go from there. Rashad Weaver has a preliminary hearing on October 5th. So those are between two road games at the Jets and then at Jacksonville. So I am concerned about how that narrative coming up in the middle of the season, coming up against two road games, games that should be wins for the Titans. Nervous about how that will affect the trajectory of the Titans season and how they will perform in those two games.
How many times in your years of covering sports have you seen somebody get charged with some sort of an assault?
A couple times.
Couple?
Yeah. Darius Geis in college.
I mean, I'd probably say like it happens like 15 times a year across the country.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's new. How many times have you seen somebody having some sort of an assault case become a hindrance on that team that season?
Well, the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl with Antonio Brown as wide receiver.
Okay. I would argue that Ezekiel Elliott in 2018, I think, or 2017, Zeke got suspended for a handful of games.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only time that it made a tangible difference. I mean, I don't want to say it feels like it's being swept under the rug because the Titans said they're taking it seriously, and I can only take them for their word on it, and I don't know how this saga is going to end, but it kind of seems to me like we talked about when all the drama broke about what did they know, when did they not know, how could they draft this guy, did they know, was it fair for them to know, then it kind of felt like this was all just going to blow over, and mm-hmm. then, you know, everyone's going to go as is, and it kind of feels like that's what's happened here.
It has, and we've talked a lot about the Titans' background check process, and is that an issue? You know, we saw it last year in the draft with the Titans drafting Isaiah Wilson, him eventually having behavioral issues. And then again, this year with Rashad Weaver, and Vrabel spoke to that and said, having talked to John Robinson and having met with John as much as I have, his scouts and our coaches, we stand by the process of evaluating players. There's always going to be things that come up, and we'll do our best to do everything we can to avoid these and then work through them when they happen. So kind of saying a lot without really saying anything at the same time. But it kind of sounds like Vrabel stands by what he says and says, hey, we don't have an issue with our background check process.
Do you buy it? No. How do you feel about it?
I think that he doesn't want to admit that there is a problem with the background process, so he's not going to say it. Whether he does think that behind closed doors, that, you know, like, we won't know. But I don't think that he's going to publicly come out and say that there is a problem, unless this Rashad Weaver thing really does turn out to be something detrimental to Rashad Weaver.
So I think the Titans have done a lot of this, and, you know, maybe this is just, this is their thing. Maybe they're just banking on this, but they've done a lot of what I call trust us. Like, just trust us. And if you keep winning, people will trust you. And even if you start losing, people won't trust you. So Mike Vrabel here saying, hey, no, I believe in the process. Trust us. Well, but you guys drafted Isaiah Wilson, and you guys did. You said that this year you'd have more. Just trust us. You guys signed Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney last year, and you promoted Shane Bowen to defense. Just trust us. The Titans are doing a lot of just trust us, and I would say that every little time that something happens, my confidence in the ability to just trust them probably erodes a little bit.
Yeah, it gets to a certain point where, like, yeah, you know, if you keep winning, then people will trust you, but if you keep making the same mistakes and not winning, then there's got to be a hitch in the process somewhere.
Yeah, then I can't trust you.
Exactly. And another big name coming out of rookie minicamp was Dylan Raiden's offensive tackle. Gil Brandt, Hall of Fame talent evaluator and NFL.com analyst, said he thinks Raiden's is one of eight incoming rookies who is in the best position to succeed with their new team. He said that the Titans addressed their deficiency at offensive tackle using second-round pick through Raiden's, and Raiden played left tackle at North Dakota State, where he excelled at protecting number three overall pick Trey Lance's blind side. He says, I like Raiden's a lot, and he's in a great position to provide an immediate boost to a unit that dropped from eighth in Pro Football Focus's ranking of offensive lines in 2019.
So my favorite thing about Dylan Raiden's is I have heard all over the map analysis about him. I have heard he could be a center, he could be a guard, he could be a tackle, he could be a. I love it. I tell you, he could be a great tackle. He could be.
Because he played left tackle in college, and now all of a sudden he can play right?
He didn't even play football last year. Like, so I'm supposed to sit there and say, oh, well, you know what? He didn't play football last year. He played left tackle at the 1AA level. And then after playing left tackle at the 1AA level, now I'm supposed to believe that, hey, he might be a center. Hey, he might be a guard. Hey, they've addressed right tackle. I mean, I'm not knocking the kid. I mean, you know, we'll see. But I have heard so many mixed reviews about Dylan Raiden's.
His addition to the offensive line doesn't hurt it. I just worry that it's not going to play as much of a role as maybe we're hearing. Because
I don't expect him to start. I expect Des Fitzpatrick to play. I don't expect Dylan Raiden's to start.
You don't think so?
No. Where's he going to start?
Right tackle.
So you're going to take a guy who hasn't played football in a year, who's a left tackle, who's undersized. You're going to move him to right tackle, and you're going to say, okay, we want you to go week one versus J.J. Watt. You got him.
Ooh.
So I just have a hard time putting all those pieces together. That's where I struggle. Again, he might be great. He might be the next Orlando Pace. I don't know. But everybody, all these analysis, you know, these analysts keep breaking down Dylan Raiden's, and they keep telling me different things, and they're all like, we love it because he can be, we see him as a center. We love it because we can, and I'm like, I mean, I'd like, you know, everybody to feel the same way, because that's usually when the consensus, then you know, like, okay, somebody's probably pretty good. Those are headlines with Caroline. Preds TV analyst Chris Mason going to join us next. His thoughts on game number one, how important it is, that's next. The NBA play-in tournament gives some teams one last shot to make the playoffs, but everyone can bet this round risk-free thanks to my friends with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. FanDuel has teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith to make sure you'll get your money back even if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game, including the Memphis game. Who's going to be watching that? The NBA play-in tournament is going down May 18th through the 21st, so that's tomorrow. And FanDuel just made it even more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's Play-In Palooza. So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app, opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code JGM and get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 exclusively on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New user risk-free bet for first real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.